You're listening to episode 298 of Women Worldwide. It's the holidays and we're headed into a new year. Are you feeling energized or exhausted? I've got a guest today who has a lot to share on this topic, so stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Thank you so much for tuning in, for showing up, and for being here. And today we're going to focus on moving into the new year. We're going to jump right into it because we don't want to make the same mistakes that we've made in 2020. So the topic is exhaustion and burnout. And it's more common than you might think. And maybe you see signs, maybe you don't recognize it, but it's really important that we keep this top of mind because there has to be a way that we can find energy, stay healthy, and achieve all of the things that we want to achieve. And right now, as we head into this new year, a lot of people are thinking about what they want to do in 2021. And I want to make sure that you can do those things. So let me introduce my special guest today. Joining me on the show is Anjali Garg. And Anjali is a lawyer by trade. She is an associate general counsel at Citi, and she's also a coach. And she helps women to find their energy and balance and the fulfillment that they seek. I could say a lot about Anjali. However, I think it's better she shares her journey and story with you. Anjali, welcome. Welcome to Women Worldwide.
Thank you so much, Deirdre. It's such a pleasure and honor to be here. Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, you're welcome. And this is a really important topic because it's so easy to overextend yourself. I found myself quite a bit in 2020 feeling exhausted. So before we dive into this conversation about balance and fulfillment and energy, maybe you could share just a little bit about lawyer to coach who helps with the energy.
I would be happy to. And actually, I need to give you a little story, if I may. I had a bit of a unraveling in my life, and it's an understatement, and an awakening that preceded that unraveling. So I will give you a little preview of that. But before, in my journey to becoming a lawyer began when I was when I came here as an immigrant when I was 7 years old. For whatever reason, my very young self got into her head that this was the way to achieve, and I decided to pour myself into my studies. I was a very lonely child. I didn't belong, or at least that's how I felt. And this is what I did. And I was really good at excelling in my academics, and that gave me a lot of validation. I always got A's, and I was getting awards, and it felt good. And I had all this whole plan mapped out for myself as to, you know, college, then law school, then a career. And I never celebrated my wins. I really just breathed a sigh of relief that I didn't screw it up. Mm-hmm. So, well, I fast forward, I had all the trappings of success, the big house, marriage. I had a newborn. I was in-house at a prestigious company. And here I was, and all of a sudden, something opened up in my life that I didn't expect. It was an awakening of sorts, another way to live life that was really from the inside out. I got a preview of it, and lo and behold, my whole life sort of fell apart. And I think that awakening helped me see it through. I lost all those trappings of success, and I was searching for my identity. Who am I with all of this stuff? My son is suffering. My marriage is in shambles. My finances are in shambles. My health is suffering. And so that began a almost 15-year journey to self-discovery. So it's a long way of answering your question, but that led me to become a coach, because I synthesized all of these various things that I learned so that other women who similarly have struggled with finding meaning and purpose in their life and finding that place for themselves in their life can have that easily and gracefully.
And catching it before, I mean, it's wonderful, the awakening. And thank you for sharing what happened to you. The awakening is always the beautiful part that we hope can happen. But how to catch something before the unraveling? And I mentioned in the introduction that burnout is a real thing. So what can professionals do to recognize the signs so that it doesn't have to take this long period, this emotional and physical drain?
Well, the first thing they can do is just tune in and listen to their own body and their emotions. So a lot of things that we do as high-achieving women is suppress our feelings and our thoughts that don't jive with what we are trying to achieve. So we're trying to keep it all together and doing a great job at doing it. But at the same time, there's these whispers inside yourself that are telling you,
like that,
right, that you need to wake up. And this isn't working. This isn't in alignment with who you are. Or, I don't want to do this right now. And what happens is a lot of people, shame and guilt comes to the surface. I shouldn't want to not want to do this. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of shoulds and oughts. And so there's a lot of things to pay attention to. And once you see those and you hear those, write them down for yourself. Don't judge yourself. But look at it. Tune in and find that space of stillness where you can tune in. Don't be afraid of it. Because if you don't listen some way or the other, you'll be forced to listen. And it's better you listen proactively than reactively.
Absolutely. I would rather be proactive than reactive. Something that's really interesting, what you said, you mentioned about, you know, being in school and the grades. It very much seemed like those are all things that you can control. And I'm wondering if that plays a part of some kind of a puzzle, or what part of us, you know, an imbalance there almost. Are there steps? So if you're recognizing signals, what would the steps be to find that better balance rather than just using intellect or grades and going down one path?
That's an excellent question. And this brings me to a model that I've created or concept called the trifecta. Each one of us has this trifecta within us. And what do I mean by that? You mentioned one leg of it, which is the intellect. And as high achieving women working in a very corporate environment often, and this applies to anyone who's working in this world, because honestly, we're very much geared towards the external and trying to make sense of things and use our brains to make that leap. And so we're very proficient in that. But what's missing is the other two legs, which are also very much there for us to access. And what are those? Those are our subconscious, the subconscious piece of us that's driving a lot of our show. This is our inner children. Believe it or not, since we were from a young age, we form certain belief systems about ourselves, about the world, and what's possible for us and what isn't possible for us. And those belief systems are often not in our awareness. We can tune into them, and there's skills and tools to do that. And that's one of the things I work with my clients on. And if you don't tune into those, the best ideas, the best logical progression strategy isn't going to be executed by you, because your subconscious and your inner children aren't going to allow for that. So that's one leg. The third leg is your higher intelligence. This is that inner knowing. And a lot of women, especially high-achieving women, trying to make it in this world, in this particular milieu, where results and concrete, tangible things are what is valued or what are valued, they suppress that higher intelligence. because, and we all do, men as well, but I say for women especially because they have a natural access to that other dimension. Women's intuition, whatever you want to call it, has different names, the gut feeling. There's right. that inner knowing of what is aligned or not aligned for you.
I call it an inner GPS.
Oh, that's excellent. That's beautiful.
Thanks. Yeah. I just feel like sometimes it should be on and we tend to try to turn it off. I don't know why, but you need to trust that inner GPS. Is there, in your experience and in your coaching and working with women, do you find, so I think we all can really get the intellect, right? Yes. That part. Yes. Which is harder? And maybe you can't answer this. Maybe it just depends on the person. Is it finding and soothing an inner child, or is it trusting the higher intelligence? Because those two parts seem like they would take some significant work to get there.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and you'd be very surprised at how quickly things can shift. Because what happens is, and it depends on where you are in your own journey, because to some extent or another, everyone is tapped into these different dimensions, these three parts of themselves. It's about consistently doing it to achieve that balance. But there's often a fear associated. You hit on that, right? This is going to take a lot of work. It's changing everything and how I live my life. And
all the excuses come
absolutely.
Out.
And yes. And there's a lot of fear there, right? Because the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know, right? That's how everyone.
Right.
And it's like, well, if I tune in and I finally listen to my inner self, what am I going to find? And is it going to be in alignment with the life I've created? I don't want to burn down what I've created. I don't want to blow it up. I don't want to blow up my life.
Right.
And so there's all these fears that come up. And there's a fear of, hey, am I really going to find dissatisfaction inside? And then what do I do about it? Because I'm stuck now. So there's so many things that are going around. And what's beautiful and what I've noticed with my clients is that with certain tools and techniques and processes, it doesn't have to be the painful journey that I went through. And that's the whole point of this, is for it to be graceful and for it to be easy. It's not, and don't mistake it, it does take work. It takes diligence and perseverance, but it doesn't have to be hard.
Right.
It doesn't have to be difficult.
So that, I just want to ask a question.
Sure.
You made a point about not blowing up your life, which is really interesting, because the more you ignore what's going on and the more you go down the path of the exhaustion, the burnout, the lack of the balance and losing your energy,
yes.
that's actually when everything is going to blow up. So you can prevent all of this.
So true. True words were never spoken. That's so true. And that's what happened to me. I wasn't listening to myself.
Right.
And so you will need to, the head in the look, I wasn't even aware of it, but if you ignore it and you tamp it down, it will somehow erupt and you will
yes.
end up in some way blowing up your life. And I don't say that as a wish for anyone. I don't wish that on anyone. But I've noticed it time and time again that if you're finding that and you're not tuning into that voice or not allowing it to be heard, one way or the other, it will start to shout.
Yes.
And it will shout in ways that you didn't wanted to shout. So for example, you might be unhappy in some aspect of your marriage because you're not being seen and heard for who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel like you can't speak up. Or your career, same thing. Doesn't matter. Whatever life, whatever aspect, because it'll show up in every aspect of your life.
And it'll show up in illness too.
Exactly. And you hide yourself, you hide yourself, and you hide yourself. And what happens is an inner resentment builds up.
Yes.
Right?
And that's dangerous. That's really dangerous for your health and well-being.
Absolutely. And there is also a distance that gets created between whomever you're interacting with as a result of you closing up your own voice.
Right.
And bringing it forth. And so the very thing that you fear happens. Right, your relationship suffers and it blows up, or your job blows up because you can't have the kind of communication that you want with your boss or your coworkers or your clients or whomever. And so you just need to make small changes that pay big dividends.
So Anjali, is this something, I'm curious,
yeah,
if people share with you, so you know, everybody has an inner circle, a board around them, so to speak, and their own personal board. If someone in your circle is saying to you, are you okay? Or, you know, maybe you should slow down. How much does that resonate with somebody, or does it truly have to come from inside?
That's a great question. I think that if you have loved ones around you that are noticing something and are concerned about you, even if it doesn't resonate for you somehow because there's some sort of resistance to it, maybe tune in and yeah, look, step back and ask yourself why they may be asking, or even ask them, like, what are you noticing about me that I'm not noticing about myself?
Right. Are they actually seeing something physical?
Correct.
That they're witnessing that you right, don't even realize because you look at yourself every day, right? Exactly. And maybe you just don't see it. Or even somebody who is with you every day, like your husband, would yep, recognize. So I just wonder, it's really interesting because I know a lot of the books about coaches and finding energy, they say that it's not external, it really has to come from within. But at the same time, I like what you shared because there are some very well-meaning folks who they're getting signals too. Mm-hmm. That you should just question and not shut it down and to be open and not have fear over that.
Absolutely, because there's a natural inclination for defensiveness to come up because there's resistance to the idea of change and to yes, the idea that you're not doing, because already these women are already doing everything possible. They're giving too much. They're doing their very best. And so it feels like, well, now what? Now, what are you noticing, right? What more do you want from me? And instead of that, step back and see it more as, let me check in. Let me see what's happening. Yeah. Ultimately, as you mentioned, no one can change you or no one can prompt you to make any change in your life or to look at yourself. You have to have that come from within you. Yeah. Have that courage to do that. And these women know courage.
Yes, no, and that is a good thing. So what are you doing specifically? You've had an awakening. There was an awakening, an unraveling. Maybe you could just give some tips on sure, maintaining that energy and balance. Are there certain hobbies or things that you do every day that help you?
Yeah, absolutely. What I notice about myself is when I get the most stressed or upset or unhappy or down in my energy is when I'm either spinning about the past. So it's my mind, right? It's either evaluating what happened and how it didn't meet my expectations, or worry about the future, like something about the future that I'm wondering is going to turn out the way that I want it to turn out. And what gets me energized and rejuvenated is really getting out of my head, because that's where I've spent a lot of my time. And that means either getting into my body or my emotions, my heart, something that uplifts me and gets me into the flow and stops me from really ruminating. And that is, I love to paint, for example.
Oh, yes.
I love to paint. I love to, it gets me in the flow. I don't think about anything. The only thing I'm thinking about is what color to use or what the lighting and this and that, but that's all absorbed into the task. So anything that gets you absorbed, and for other people, it could be singing, dancing. I enjoy those too. Nature is huge. I love to be in nature because it feels so soothing and I feel my senses engaged. And again, I'm in my body, not in my mind. Another thing is connection. I really value the connections in my life. So just speaking to a good friend, or my family, my mom, whomever, it gets me into my heart and that loving space. Just hearing their voice, I don't have to see them. I know that a lot of people are self-isolating, but just to even smile at a stranger, if you don't have someone immediately, if you go on a walk and you just see somebody and they smile at you and you smile back, there's this rush of good feeling Right.
Oh my gosh, a smile makes you feel so good. It's just, it's different today though. It's interesting you said about the smile because it is a pandemic and we're wearing masks.
Yes.
And I was out and I had a mask on and I smiled at somebody and I guess she could see that my eyes were smiling. I think she smiled back. I mean, it's hard to tell, but you know, I hope even though we're wearing masks, we can all continue to smile, to put that good energy out there. You mentioned something about connections. And I just wanted to know, what do? You know, we all have connections. There's people through work. There's friends. There's family. Sometimes connections have their own things going on. Maybe do not help your energy and your balance.
Yes.
How do you, you know, you want to have them as connections, but at the same time, you don't want to take on any of the negative energy. Yes. What would you say to that?
Oh, that's a beautiful question. And it's so interesting because I was just having this conversation with my boyfriend the other day about this. When you're around someone that you love and that you want to be with, but there's a reaction within you when you're interacting with them. Right, because everything is happening within you, right?
Right.
Whatever they're doing, but it's your reaction to what they're doing or saying that's really forming your experience.
Right.
And so one of the things that we do a lot with our loved ones is we judge them. We judge them. And it's human nature to judge. And I'm not saying you can change that, but notice when you're talking to your loved one. This is, so I would say three things. One is let go of the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people do and say things or they say, well, hey, they complain a lot. They vent a lot. And so inside yourself, you're like, well, then why do you do X, Y, and Z? And you long to say that to them. And why can't you just change yourself? Why are you doing this? This is your fault. And that blame, that judgment has an impact on us, whether it has an impact on them or not. If we're not voicing it, it's an internal thing. What we're really struggling with is we love them. We have this feeling for them and we want them not to suffer. But what happens is anger comes up, judgment comes up, blame comes up. And that has an impact on us. So one thing, I know it can be hard, but let go of that and just trust that their journey is theirs and your journey is yours.
That's really nice.
And that's the second piece, because when we're in that sort of that mode, the second piece is the fix it mode, because we have such a desire to fix them, right? They're broken in our mind, and they're not. They're just doing the best they can with what they know and what they've experienced, just like you are. So that's the second piece, is let go of the impulse to try to fix it. If someone is talking to you, if you're willing and able to hear them, that's up to you. But your reaction to them is going to depend on how much you want to try to change them or fix them.
Definitely doesn't work. It's best just to listen. And I always say, and you know, what are you going to do about it? Or just move the conversation in a different direction, but don't fix.
Exactly. And then the third thing, and this is for the empaths out there, and I'm an empath myself, and this is where you imbibe somehow and you take in energetically the feelings of other people. And that's just setting an intention before you speak to that person or in the moment that you know, I want to have an energetic I ask and I put in an energetic boundary between myself and this other person so that I don't take on their energy and I don't give them my energy unknowingly.
Right.
And so that way you set a clear boundary, and that's energetic, but you can also make a verbal boundary. What I mean by that is if someone is going on and on about something and you're just feeling like that's enough, there's a way for you to shift that conversation nicely and gently. You can say, look, I appreciate that you're going through this and I hear you and I'm here to support you. But right now I'd really like to talk about blah, blah, blah.
Right. And that is gentle.
Yeah.
So because I think sometimes there's a point in a conversation where even the person might realize it's not going anywhere. It's not helpful. It's only harmful to that person. And of course, if you're an empath and you're taking on that energy, it's harmful to you too. So it's a win-win for everybody, the gentle shift. I think that's really good. Anjali, you've given great advice. I'm actually now going to ask you for just some parting words that you want to share with the Women Worldwide Network. What do you want to say to everybody about energy and balance?
I would just say you are an amazing person and magnificent person. And please don't tell yourself otherwise. Celebrate your wins and honor yourself. And take 5 minutes even to care for yourself and tune in to what you really want. Because that clarity is going to carry you forward into the day. You can even set an intention when you wake up in the morning that you're going to have a beautiful day. I know that sounds strange, but when I started doing that, my whole outlook changed in life. Just that small little step. Everyone has the ability to wake up in the morning, smile to themselves, and say, I'm going to have a wonderful day.
That's right. That's really, really good, because we are the creators of our reality. I even sometimes set intentions at night before I go to bed.
Yeah.
So when I wake up, it's going to be a great day. So
That's beautiful.
Thank you so much for your advice. The last question, super easy. Where can people find out more about you and your work?
Oh, that's great. Please find me on my website, www.yourcoachtosoar. And you can also find me on LinkedIn. And if you want to reach out, please DM me on LinkedIn, or you can contact me through the website. And I look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And you'll have to keep us posted on all the things that you're doing. And I hope everybody checks out Anjali, and her work is really important so that we can all have a balanced and fulfilled 2021. Anjali, thank you so much for sharing your journey.
Thank you so much, Deirdre. Thank you. And that you reminded me about my coaching program that's launching in the new year.
Yes. What's the name of the coaching program?
It's called Ignite Your Abundance Mindset. And
excellent.
The whole idea of the program is to tap into your power so that time, energy, health, and wealth are yours to command.
Thank you. We tap into that power. Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you to all of you for tuning in to Women Worldwide. And please keep the conversations going and the feedback coming. We love how much you're sharing. And if you want Women Worldwide updates, you can sign up on our website, womenworldwideshow.com. Okay, until our next episode, please be safe and stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.